Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service this morning. Just remind everybody that we will be celebrating communion at the end of our service today. And our service is being led by the Reverend Romeo Pedro. So, Romeo, I will hand over to you now.
Thank you, Adrian. What a pleasure to be with you this morning and to share with you in worship. If we were together in person, I was going to ask you to stand because I've got some actions that I want us to do for our gathering prayers. So if you can stand, please do that. Otherwise, please remain seated and then just follow the actions on the screen. I don't think I'll be able to stand, but for those who can stand, let's do that. So from the top of my head, to the tips of my toes, from the lobes of my ears, to the end of my nose, from my back to my front, to my wiggly fingers, God loves me. Shall we do that one more time? Let's do that again. From the top of my head, to the tips of my toes, from the lobes of my ears to the end of my nose, from my back to my front to my wiggly fingers, God loves me. Yeah, that's really nice, Lewis. That is a good jump, good exercise as well. We're going to sing, Come Now Is the Time to Worship.
Is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God, and one day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as
right, I'm sorry about that. I don't know why the music stopped there for a bit, but let us pray. I want to invite you to think of something that you would like to say sorry for. I know that this week has been really difficult for me, and there were times when I perhaps chose to do the wrong thing or to say the wrong thing. And looking back over the past week, I am really, really sorry about the way in which I reacted towards people sometimes during this week. And so I invite you to think of those things that you feel sorry for and to bring them to God. I'm going to light a candle on our behalf here, just to remind us that Jesus is the light of the world and that he loves us and that his light shines into our places of darkness. Let us bring our confessions before God. Loving God, we confess our faults and we ask that you forgive us. Lead us in your truth, that our feet may keep to your paths. Amen. And we will now listen to the readings for today from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 9 to 14, and Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37.
So the first one, Deuteronomy 30. The Lord your God will prosper everything you do and give you many children and much cattle and wonderful crops. For the Lord will again rejoice over you as he did over your fathers. He will rejoice if you but obey the commandments written in this book of the law. And if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, obeying these commandments is not something beyond your strength and reach. For these laws are not in the far heavens, so distant that you can't hear and obey them, and with no one to bring them down to you. Nor are they beyond the ocean, so far that no one can bring you their message. But they are very close at hand, in your hearts and on your lips. So obey them.
And now we have Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. One day, an expert on Moses' law came to test Jesus. Orthodoxy by asking him this question: Teacher, what does a man need to do to live forever in heaven? Jesus replied, What does Moses' law say about it? It says, he replied, that you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor just as much as you love yourself. Right, Jesus told him, do this and you shall live. The man wanted to justify his lack of love for some kinds of people, so he asked, which neighbors? Jesus replied with an illustration. A Jew going on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes and money and beat him up and left him lying half dead beside the road. By chance, a Jewish priest came along. When he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A Jewish temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but went on. But a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw him, he felt deep pity. Kneeling beside the Samaritan, he soothed his wounds with medicine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his donkey and walked along beside him till they came to an inn, where he nursed him through the night. The next day, he handed the innkeeper two $20 bills and told him to take care of the man. If his bill runs higher than that, he said, I'll pay the difference the next time I'm here. Now, which of these three would you say was the neighbour to the bandit's victim? The man replied, the one who showed him some pity. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. Thank you for this word.
Thank you so much for reading for us, both of you. I want to share a few thoughts on this reading, and I want to start by asking a question.
How do you measure faith? By a lack of doubt? By the ability to do miracles? Or perhaps by a life of health or wealth or even happiness? Yes, those are some of the ways in which some people define faith or define how you measure faith. Should we even worry about measuring faith is the other question. Doesn't the idea of measurement only lead us into legalism and competition? It doesn't take long when we read the New Testament to realize that Jesus doesn't measure faith by miracles or by certainties or even purity. For Jesus, there's only one measure of the fruit we bear, and that is love. My late mother used to say to us as children that those who are growing in faithful obedience and in intimacy with Jesus naturally become more loving. You know, I never really grasped that as a child, but the older I got, I saw it reflected in her life, and later, you know, it became so ingrained in my own life. I want to repeat that those who are growing in faithful obedience and in intimacy with Jesus naturally become more loving, she used to say. When we are close to Christ, we cannot help but become like him in our values, in our priorities, in our behavior, which means that we begin to make loving others in practical, life-giving ways our primary focus in everything we do. Now, I know that is not as easy as it sounds. What is very clear in the readings this week is that love for God and love for other people are not separate. Love for God and love for other people are not separate. Rather, friends, our love for God is revealed in the love we have for others. If we do not love those around us, then no matter how much we may claim to love God, our faith is empty. This love is not a feeling, friends. It's not a set of words. Love is anything we do to bring joy, peace, safety, wholeness, and welcome to others. Luke's gospel is the only one that recounts the parable of the Good Samaritan. It is really significant for me that the parable is coupled with the religious expert's question about the greatest commandment. It's also interesting for me that Luke notes that the man is seeking to justify himself when he asks, "Who is my neighbor?" And then the direct answer of Jesus to the question that the greatest commandment is to love God and our neighbor leaves this person with no wiggle room, really. So in an attempt to create a loophole, it seems he tries to find a way to narrow the definition of neighbor. But of course, Jesus doesn't allow him to do that. Jesus' final question after the parable is not, who viewed the wounded man as a neighbor? But listen to what Jesus asks. Who was a neighbor to the wounded man? There's a huge difference between these two. questions. If neighborliness, my friends, is dependent on the other person, then some people will be our neighbors and others won't. But if being a neighbor is something we choose, then there is no one who is not our neighbor. What's the point of all of this? We are all called to see all people as neighbors and to treat them accordingly. Who needs you? I want to put it in a different way, this question today. Who needs you to choose to be a neighbor to them today? Who needs you to choose to be a neighbor to them today? It's so easy to write other people off when we stereotype them. And we've seen that last week in the football and the way in which people reacted to those players. It's easy to write people off when we stereotype them. And racism and sexism and homophobia, religious factions, other forms of violence, and division will follow easily when we do that. I want to offer a possible way into being a neighbor to other people. I don't want to go into the detail because we are sharing this on the internet. But some of you may know of some of the struggles we've had with folk and the stereotypes and a really horrible claim that somebody made against me some time ago, maliciously, and the pain that that caused to us as a family. It made me really suspicious of neighbors. I wondered who would do something like this to us as a family. What helped me was when I decided to reach out to my neighbors to find, you know, I had absolutely no reason for having any kind of mistrust towards them. I realized that it was my own fear that created perhaps the decisions I made about how I was going to relate to other people. But when I came over my own fear and began talking to neighbors and listening to them and sharing stories and sharing what happened to us, that created a neighborliness that I have never ever experienced in my life before. You see, when we take time to listen to other people and to share our stories and to listen to their stories, they stop being a stereotype and they become a person. A person with similar hopes, with similar fears. A person sharing the feelings that we experience. And that, my friends, is often the first step toward learning to love another. Listen to the stories of those around you today and break down the barriers. Become a neighbor. Live the love of God. Live your faith in love this week. Amen. Now for our prayers of intercession, I asked if you could perhaps bring a pen and a page with you so that we pray together. And the first thing I want you to do is to just draw a circle on an empty page. just a circle. And that circle represents the world. And I want to ask that you take a moment to pray for places where there's war and where there's famine, that you will pray for people who care for the world. On my heart over the past few weeks have been my own country, Namibia. I have lost more than 60 members of my extended family over a period of 3 months due to COVID. And it's just a horrible situation. So there are places around the world where people are experiencing another wave of this pandemic. And so we take a moment, just focusing on that circle, and we pray for the world. And I invite you now to draw a cross on that same page. A simple cross representing the Church of Jesus Christ. And as you draw that cross, pray for the church. Pray for Christians who are put into prison because they believe in Jesus. Pray for people who lead the church. Pray for your own church and its people. Pray that people who don't know Jesus will come to know him. Let's hold the church in our prayers. Now draw a heart on your page. That heart represents people. Pray for your family and your friends. Pray for people who have no family and friends and have nowhere to live. Pray for people who are ill and lonely. Pray that God will help you to bless people. Let us pray for people. You can write the names or the situations that you're praying for in that heart. Now draw the initial letter of your name. And as you do that, pray for yourself. Ask God to bless you and to help you with the things you are finding hard at the moment. Also ask God to help you to help others. I'm going to end these prayers and pray the Lord's Prayer in my mother tongue. Will you join in the version on your screen? Onze Vader, wat in die hemel is, laat u naam geheilig word, laat u koninkryk kom, laat u wil geskied soos in die hemel, net so ook op die aarde. Gee ons vandag ons daaglikse brood, en vergeef ons ons skulde, soos ons ook ons skuldenaars vergewe. En lei ons nie in versoeking nie, maar verlos ons van die bose, want aan u behoort die koninkryk en die krag en die heerlikheid van nou af tot in ewigheid. Amen. And friends, we're going to sing "As Your Family, Lord, See Us Here," and then I'm going to hand over to Adrian to lead us in communion.
Come to this sacred table, not because you must, but because you may. Come not to testify that you are righteous, but that you sincerely love our Lord Jesus Christ and desire to be his true disciples. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because you have any claim on heaven's rewards, but because in your frailty and sin, you stand in constant need of heaven's mercy and help. Jesus said, "Listen, I stand at the door and knock. If any hear my voice and open the door, I will come into the house and eat with them, and they with me." Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." My Lord, we thank you for the gift that you have given us in this bread and in this wine. We break the bread and we share it with each other. Eat now in remembrance of him. Thank you. the same way, after supper he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And we drink the cup in remembrance of him. Eternal God and Father, we offer you our praise and thanksgiving. We thank you for raising Christ to life again and exalting him so that we might call him Lord, as we offer him our allegiance and seek to share his way. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, powerfully present in your people and your world, the fellowship of your church, for the means of grace and the hope of glory. Living God, fill us with your Spirit. May this bread and wine fill us and empower us for service in your world. Accept our prayers and thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the life of the people. Mighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit. Live and work your praise and glory. Amen.
Adrian, thank you for leading us in that. The prayers of intercession, I have my page where I have my circle and my cross and my heart and my initial with me. I'll be putting that on my screen, on my fridge this week, and use it as my way of praying for things in the world, in the church, personal things. And I encourage you to hold on to that page and to continue to pray about those things this week. I have a friend who strongly disagrees with us using the words prayers of intercession. He calls it prayers of solidarity because he believes that inherently as Christians, we are the answer to those prayers ourselves. And when, you know, we don't need somebody to intercede for us, we need to come directly to God. We can come directly to God and talk to God. And then God moves us with God's love to be the answer to those prayers. So as you go out this week and pray about these things, also ask God to move you to be in solidarity with those that you're praying for and to become the answer to those prayers through the love that you show this week. Let's sing Jesus, Jesus, fill us with your love.
Sorry.
The Lord bless us, my friends. The Lord keep us. The Lord makes his face to shine upon us. The Lord is gracious unto us, and the Lord gives us his peace. Let us go in peace to love and to serve him. And we say to each other, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
the love of God,
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit
be with us all,
evermore.
Amen. Thank you, Adrian, for facilitating this, and thank you so much for allowing me to share with you in worship today. May God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Romeo and Adrian.
Thank you, Romeo. Our service next week will still be a Zoom service, although we have the relaxation on Monday. The numbers of positive cases are still increasing, and the guidance from both the Baptist and Methodist organisations are that we need to sit down very carefully and think about how we are going to come back into church. And we didn't feel it was right to rush into church next Sunday morning. We need to consider how these things are going to be handled. So we will still be holding a Zoom service next Sunday morning, and I'm leading the service next Sunday. So hopefully you'll be able to join with us. We give good wishes to the Girls Brigade, who are doing some what we used to be called, but they seem to be they're going to be in the garden at the church for cooking, but going home to sleep, if I understand that's right, Kathleen.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they're doing their Duke of Edinburgh awards, this couple of groups and doing their awards this week. Yeah. So remember them, mm-hmm. and hope they have good weather and suitable weather, not too hot.
Not too hot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
We'll have our prayers on Wednesday and Friday morning as usual. Any other notices anybody wishes to bring to us today?
It's just me.
Helen.
Hi.
Is that a question, Helen?
Is Stephanie okay?
Is Stephanie okay?
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, and
Adrian.
Yes, Carl.
Helen is asking, is Stephanie okay? I think we can see the empty chair.
Yeah, she's fine. Just before the service started, we had a call from a neighbour's daughter saying that the neighbour wasn't answering her phone. So Stephanie went across the road to see what's going on, and she's been sorting that out. And I don't know quite what's going on. She hasn't come back. So I'm assuming sort of things are being sorted out, but that's why she's not.
She's living what we talked about this morning.
I was just going to say that.
Looking after our neighbour is more important than coming to church. Mm. Strange exactly. as that may sound.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay, so thank you, everybody. Let's enjoy the good weather.
Enjoy your roast.
I'm still too hot
for roast.
God bless. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.